I guess the people in the parking lot aren't as ready as the rest of us are. So we'll just have to wait. Jana, if you're still near the mic, you're muted right now. Jana, are you there?
Can you hear me, Stan?
Yep. Yes, you're on now.
So I'm not sure if those on Zoom heard my announcement, so I'll repeat it. Let me just look here at my screen. Yes, we're collecting MCC relief kits, and the list of those items to go in those kits is in your bulletin. You can put them in a large bag or box and drop those off at the church foyer, and we're looking forward to our new pastor and his family to be with us on June the 6th. That's all for our announcements. Frank will come and do our call to worship.
Actually, I wasn't going to do this, but I think I will anyway. Before the call to worship, I just want to introduce our speaker this morning a little bit. I decided not to do this, but I think I probably should. All of you probably know Kim. She grew up here, right? Most of you know her better than me. I didn't meet her until about 20, 25 years ago. Can't hear me? Is that better, Dave? More? Turn up your hearing aid. There we go. I'll try that. So I used to work at Charities and Mabel's Place, and they had this little mobile home back there that looked like it was probably abandoned or stored stuff in it. It's kind of just a spooky, scary place. And I was working there late one night on a Friday night, and this car drives up and pulls in, and this dark-haired, skinny little thing gets out of the car, and she looked really cranky, like she just lost her best friend. I mean, very severe, like an old Mennonite lady. And so she looked, and I looked at her, and I smiled, and I waved, and I know that she saw me, but she pretended she didn't or something, but she ran into the house, screwed in, and I heard her lock the door behind her, and I thought, that's kind of weird. And I am going to find a way to reach out to this girl. So every Friday when I was there, I would watch for her. And often I was gone before she got home. But this happened 5 or 6 or 7 times in the same scenario. Just this kind of pretend not to see me, just angry looking little thing. And so one day she drove home and this happened. And I thought, man, I wish there was something for her. And then shortly after that, another car pulled in. And this really handsome Ricky Ricardo type guy jumps out of the car, and he has a little briefcase, and he's all dressed nicely and a big smile and a big hola. Remember? First time I ever met somebody, a big hola. And then I thought to myself, do not go in there. Whatever you're selling, religion, insurance, don't go in there. She's really scary. And much to my surprise, he opened up the door and went inside. I didn't hear any bad sounds. So since then, Sabino and I have become great friends. Kim and I have learned to, you know, get along pretty much. But at a party one time, I went to Kim and I said, why were you so cold to me? Do you remember this, Kim? Oh, yes, you do. I said, why were you so cold to me? Do you remember that? And she goes, I do. And I said, why were you like that? And she said, well, first, I didn't know you. And second, you were always dirty. And third, you really didn't look trustworthy. So sometimes first impressions are wrong and sometimes they're right. So I don't know. So we have Kim this morning. You want to smile once in a while, pretend you're a warm person. It will help. So the reason I wasn't going to tell that story is because this really isn't the Kim and Frank show today. This is the Lord's day. This is God's day. And the reason I had thought maybe about not just goofing around is because I wanted to prepare us for worship. And so this morning, I'm going to ask you or challenge you to do something that I'm trying to challenge myself to do on Sunday mornings. And that, set everything aside. Set today's golf game aside for a little bit. Set your nerves aside for a little bit. Set COVID aside for a little bit. Everything you think about or worry about, the worries of last week, the worries of this coming week, set them aside and think about the reason we are really here, which is to worship God, to be with God. And so to prepare us for that, I want to, I'm not on camera. That's okay. Booyah. Hi, folks. I want to share these words from Isaiah. Now listen to this. I am the Lord God. I am the one who made you. I am the one who shaped you with my hands. So don't be afraid. I am the one that has redeemed you. I am the one who has called you by name. You belong to me. You are mine. So when you go through the deep waters, I am with you. When you cross the swift rivers, it will not sweep you away. When you walk through the fire, you will not get burned. The flames will not reach up and set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God. I am the Holy One. I am the only one who can save you. So don't be afraid.
We're going to sing together, and I'm going to come out this way to those that are here and try to lead through the mic so you can stay with the recording of the song. So let's sing together.
Bless the Lord. Thank you.
Spirit, come with power. So come on up.
Abby's sad day. Abby is sad today. Just having a sad day. It's just hard today. Sometimes it is, right? Just hard. She's a good dog, though. So she sits with her sister. Yeah, to see if that will make her feel a little better. Yeah, it's a little better when you sit with your sister. Oh, no. Now there's another problem. What is the other problem? What is it? Is something outside? We should go and check? We should go and check. That guy is yelling at her. Oh, that guy. He's not a nice one. Well, maybe we should go for a walk. Would you like to go for a walk, Abby? Yeah, we could go for a walk outside and see some things. There. Eve will take the long leash, and we can see beautiful leaves, trees, and paths. Oh, look at the flowers on this one. It's really pretty. Oh, walks are fun. Plus, you can visit friends. Yeah, there's our friend Casey. Yeah, we love our friend Casey. Casey hasn't had his vaccination yet, though, so we just stay back from him. Oh, we're back home, and we take a nice snuggle on our pillow with our blanket. Does we feel better? We feel better, yeah. What do you do when you are sad? Do you have things that you do? Do some things make you feel better when you do them? I bet they do. Have you ever tried praying about it? Praying to God? Let's try that now. God, thank you for giving us so many beautiful things that can make us cheer up when we're feeling sad, like trees and flowers and friends and long walks. Be with us always. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. See you next time.
So one thing I did forget to mention is that when Kim left here, she was taken off to the foreign land of Woodburn, and there she became a Pentecostal. So buckle up tight when she comes up here. It's kind of probably good we're outside. There's no telling what might have happened to the building. So the scripture this morning is from John 14, and it goes like this. If you love me, you will obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him because he lives in you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live in you, you will also live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. All this I have spoken to you while I was still with you. But when the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, comes, who the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things, and he will remind you of everything that I taught you. So listen. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I don't give the peace that the world gives. So do not let your hearts be troubled. Don't be afraid. You have heard me say I am going away and I am coming back to you. If you love me, you would be glad that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you this now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you may believe. Kim?
Good morning. Good morning. Am I good? You can hear me? All right. Well, thank you, Frank, for all those introductions. At least I think I should thank him. I'm not sure. One thing Frank and I have learned we have in common is we get choked up really easy. So we'll see how this goes this morning. Thankfully, I have my kids here this morning. They usually give me a count. They let me know, Mom, 3 times today. Mom, 2. Mom, you did better. Or maybe it's 8 or 10. So we'll see. But I'm glad to be here this morning. It's exciting. It's kind of weird, but fun. Lots of different emotions. But glad to see you all here this morning. And I come to you at a time of transition. You are going between pastor, interim pastor, new pastor, a time of transition for you. And this morning, as we look at scripture, we're also looking at a time of transition. Jesus is preparing the disciples for a transition. He's leaving them, and he's telling them what to anticipate, what's coming next. And from the scripture, we see that Jesus is promising his disciples that he's going to send someone, that this transition from him, it's going to be a transition from him being with them to the Holy Spirit being with them. But this isn't the first time that the Holy Spirit shows up in scripture. It's not like this is new. It's just different. And if we go back and we look at the very beginning in Genesis 1, at creation, we see the Spirit of God is hovering over the waters. The Holy Spirit was there at creation, hovering over the waters, present throughout creation. Because when you keep reading in verse 26, it says, then God said, let us make human beings in our image to be like us. The Holy Spirit is not a created being that showed up after Jesus died. He's part of who God is. And if you go through the Old Testament, you see the Holy Spirit still hovering. He's intersecting in people's lives. Joshua, Samson, David, all led with the power that the Holy Spirit gave them. The Spirit of the Lord comes upon Gideon, Ezekiel, and Isaiah, and other prophets are guided by the Holy Spirit. So we see the Holy Spirit showing up. But then Jesus comes and he says, there's going to be something different. This is going to be a different work of the Holy Spirit. Jesus is going to leave, and the disciples don't completely understand what this means. He keeps making these weird references to being glorified, that he's going to be with the Father. It doesn't make sense to them. That's not what they were expecting to happen. And so he wants to give them comfort in this time. He wants them to know they are not going to be left alone. And we read in John 14, 18, he says, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. He doesn't want them to feel abandoned. He doesn't want them to feel left all alone, orphaned like a child without a parent, or like followers without a leader. In John 14, verses 16 to 17, Frank read for us, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. So this new, different act of the Holy Spirit means he's going to dwell within each believer. So if you haven't accepted Christ as your Savior, you're missing out. Believers have the Holy Spirit dwelling within them, with them forever. This was a totally new idea, that the Holy Spirit wouldn't be hovering, wouldn't be intersecting here and there, but dwelling within, a new experiencing of the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:9 tells us that anyone who belongs to Christ has the Holy Spirit, has the Spirit of God living in them. 1 Corinthians 12:16 tells us that we are God's temple and God's Spirit lives in us. In Ephesians 1:13, it tells us that when we believe, the Holy Spirit is given to us as a guarantee that we belong to him. And I thought before, like, how cool it was to be a disciple, to have Jesus right there. They could ask him anything, anytime they wanted to, and they would immediately have an answer. But the thing that would be difficult was that the disciples didn't have the Holy Spirit within them. And when you read throughout the Gospels, you see there were a lot of things that they had a hard time understanding. These concepts that Jesus was teaching them, they didn't always get it. And I've come to realize that in a lot of ways, we have it better. I still wish we could turn to Jesus and ask him. Like, someday we get to have both. But Jesus knew that this new way, this coming transition, was a better plan, that it would be better for us. That he knew that he had to die, he had to go for our salvation, but also so that we could have the Holy Spirit. John 16, 7 says, but I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Now, the word that John uses for the Holy Spirit is paraclete. And so today we're going to look at this word and its meaning to help us understand who the Holy Spirit is. Paraclete means one that comes alongside to help. And in our English language, we don't have a word that encompasses all of what that means. So when you read in different translations of the Bible, you'll see sometimes it's translated as counselor, sometimes advocate, encourager, comforter.
And then there are other characteristics of the Holy Spirit that we aren't going to address today. This passage that we read today doesn't talk about the conviction of the Holy Spirit. John in this passage doesn't mention the power of the baptism of the Holy Spirit or the gifts and fruits of the Holy Spirit. But in this passage, he does give us this word, paraclete. So we're going to look at three different meanings of that. First of all, paraclete means the spirit of truth, one who gives understanding. The Holy Spirit helps us know what truth is. The truth of understanding the essentials of the gospel, that Jesus is God's son, that he was sent to die for our sins, that he was resurrected, that he's living in heaven. That's the ultimate truth that the Holy Spirit helps us understand. I have a friend who has come to be a believer later in life, an adult who accepted Christ. And it's been fun to do this journey with her, because she'll come to me after a sermon or something with a question like, Kim, I didn't understand this. What's this? And I'll give her some scriptures to read. And she comes back so excited, like all these aha moments of the Holy Spirit giving her understanding of scripture. That's what he does for us. In verse 26, it said that the counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said. The Spirit of truth teaches us all things. The Holy Spirit helps us understand and reminds us of what we know. I have found this when I'm talking to someone or maybe praying with someone and a scripture comes to mind to tell that person, to encourage them or to pray over them. That's the work of the Holy Spirit within us, bringing to mind those things that we've learned, helping us understand and pass that understanding on to others. The second meaning of paraclete, or another meaning we'll look at, is comforter, that he's a comfort and a strength. The disciples were going to have a hard time with Jesus being gone. They were going to miss him. They were going to feel lonely. And Jesus wanted them to feel comforted in this time. But not just comforted in the way that we think of someone who's consoling someone when they're sad, when they're going through a time of sorrow. The word comfort comes from two Latin words that mean with strength. So it's a comfort that strengthens them, that they can have victory over that sorrow that they're feeling, that they can face it with courage, not ignore the sorrow, but go through it with strength. When our kids were little, they each had something that brought them comfort. For Antonio, it was Wooly. For Diego, it was Eeyore. And for Isa, it was Pinky. And having their stuffed animal next to them brought them comfort, but it also brought them courage. They could go spend the night somewhere if they had their Pinky with them. They could go into a new situation if Eeyore was with them. That stuffed animal gave them comfort, gave them the strength to go into a new or difficult situation. The Holy Spirit is the comforter. He's the one that goes with us into whatever situation life brings us. And he brings us the strength that we need to have courage, to be brave in those situations, to empower us to have the courage we need to cope with those difficult situations. He is your Wooly. He can be the strength for you, whether it's a difficult work situation that you need his comfort and his strength, financial struggles that you face, parenting a child that you worry about, tough relationships, maybe even a tough marriage. You need the strength and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Strength to show grace to those that you would disagree with. His presence and his comfort give us the strength for whatever is going on. And this year has been full of them. Lots of opportunities to draw on that strength and courage that we have from the Holy Spirit, because we know he's with us and he goes with us. So paraclete is the spirit of truth that gives understanding, the comforter who comforts and strengthens, and the advocate, an advocate who guides and helps. When mom was in the hospital for her knee replacement surgery about a year and a half ago, dad had a cough. And so he didn't want to go in the hospital and expose people and be coughing. Maybe he had COVID. anyway, so I went with mom to the hospital and I spent the night with her for a couple nights. And I feel like I earned myself the right to be called her favorite child just for a few days, until a few days later, Trina showed up with Libby and took her home. So it was short-lived. And Ron seems to think he's always the favorite child, so he just kind of got kicked out for a little while. We had our moment. But I was there for those few days in the hospital to comfort my mom and to be there and support her, to come alongside and help her. Now, when you're just out of surgery and you're on pain meds, and if you're my mother, you don't always think very clearly. So I was her second voice, her second set of ears, to listen to what the nurses and doctors were saying, to remind her of what they said, to advocate for her pain meds, for how they were administering her meds into her IV, remind them she does not like her socks on when she's in bed, and to be her advocate, to stand by her side, to guide and to help. That's what the Holy Spirit is for us. That's what he does for us in life. He is our advocate, our guide, and our help. In John, we read about the promise of the Holy Spirit. In Acts 1:4, we read that Jesus told his disciples, "Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised. As I told you before, the Holy Spirit was coming." He said, "Wait, wait, wait for this gift that I promised you." And so we read a little further in Acts 2:1, and it says, "When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place." Now, the day of Pentecost is also called the Festival of Weeks. It was held every year, 7 weeks or 50 days after Passover. It's today. Today is Pentecost Sunday. It was a time when they would celebrate the end of the grain harvest. People would gather together. They'd celebrate God's provision of rain, the provision of food that they had harvested. They would offer sacrifices. They would offer sacrifices of loaves of bread. And they would have this big meal together. And then it tells us in verses 2-4, "Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them." This is what they had been waiting for. This is why they were supposed to wait in Jerusalem. And I think Jesus wanted them to be there to experience it together. Together they could see what it was that Jesus had been talking about. And then as you read throughout Acts, we see the Paraclete, the Holy Spirit, at work in believers. We see him giving courage to Peter in Acts 4, when it tells us that he's filled with the Holy Spirit and he talks about Jesus and quotes all these scriptures. We see him speaking in truth through Stephen, who gives an overview, a beautiful overview of the Old Testament in Acts 6 and 7. We see the Holy Spirit giving guidance to Philip as he goes to the Ethiopian and explains scripture in Acts 8. The Holy Spirit's presence is obvious throughout the whole book of Acts. We see that he brings guidance along with helping them to understand scripture and explain it, helping them remember what Jesus had taught them. So how is the Holy Spirit's presence evident in your life? Where do you see that he guides you? That he brings you comfort, helps you understand? Are you relying on him to live the things that you know? You just finished talking about the Sermon on the Mount. Last week, Bill challenged you to live what Jesus taught. And we do that by relying on the Holy Spirit who lives within us. A few years ago, I was in a little fender bender. I was sitting at the light by 7-Eleven on the corner of 99E and Ivy. And I'm sitting there waiting to turn left, and there's this truck coming around the corner. I can't make the corner. He's going to hit me. So I start backing up and I look in my rear view camera. I know there's a car behind me. I look in my rear view mirror. I see him back there trying to like be mindful of this guy behind me. But I've also got this semi coming straight at me. There's a lot going on. I've got the camera. I've got the mirror. I've got the noise going beep, 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 telling me, be careful, there's something behind you. I have a car behind me honking at me, but I'm so focused at what's coming on me that I hit the guy behind me. The Holy Spirit is like all of those things for us. All of those things that were trying to help me, he's there wanting to guide us, wanting to help us, giving us scripture to look at, helping us remember the things that we've been taught so that we can walk through life with his help. So that in times of transition, he's with us. In this strange time that we're experiencing in our state, in our nation, in our world, he's with us. We just need to listen to him. Be aware of all those ways he's helping us and guiding us. He's trying to help keep us out of those fender benders or help us through them, exactly like the scripture Frank read at the beginning of service. When you walk through the waters, I will be there. When you walk through the fire, I will be there. He is with us through all of those times, helping us prevent them and helping us through them. We just need to seek his guidance, his courage, and his strength, because he is the dwelling of God himself within us. Only one time. Let's pray. Lord, we are so grateful for the presence of your Holy Spirit dwelling within us. You are with us in every moment, not just around us, but in us. You guide our thoughts. You direct us. Help us, Lord, to listen, to realize your presence, to recognize your presence, to allow you to guide and direct us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, save that thou art. Thou markest all by hail or by night. What he or see thy presence, thy light. Be thou my wisdom, be thou.
Thank you, Kim, for your message. It's wonderful to have you here with your family. And we are in a time of transition. I want us to remember to pray for the Bomar family. Craig and I got to spend Friday evening with them getting acquainted. And they want to move up here to this area, hopefully by the fall. So you know it's a good time to sell a house, but maybe not a real good time to buy a house. So I just share that so that you can be aware of what they're planning to do. If you know of a house coming up for sale, maybe possibly a rental that they can transition to for a while, keep that in mind. And we want to pray in regards to that. And we want to remember others in our congregation who Frank will give us our benediction.
We just got it.
Thank you, Kim. That was not as scary as I anticipated. So that's good. Go this week in the power of the Holy Spirit. Serve God, love God, and be loved by God. You're dismissed.